Okay. You hearing me? Hello. Okay. I shared a little bit in our family fellowship groups, so not all this is going to be new, but really what happened was last Sunday, I was sitting back there where Myrna was and looking over our congregation, and I was just looking. I saw Nellie sitting there, the people from Nevada next to her. Jeff was missing, and Jeff had called me a couple days earlier and said, "Pat, this weird thing happened with my foot. It just swelled up and it's protruding out. I don't know why." I saw Pastor up here. Debbie was sitting there, and I talked to her earlier in the week, and she was telling me how her legs were hurting, and a pulled muscle or something also, and we know what was going on with Brendan, and then Sarah had mentioned that Eric had to go into the emergency, and I was like, Lord, this is crazy, what is going on in our church, and the Thursday before at prayer, we had Chris had come in and we had prayed for him. And there's sometimes I think we have wonderful, beautiful prayer. And after that, I was sick for about 3 days. And that's probably where this is coming from, because I sat at home just in my chair all day long asking the Lord, what is going on? I mean, it was a burden. I wanted answers. And this is kind of how I believe the Lord spoke to me. I'm not going to say emphatically I heard from God, but when I was sitting there praying, this is what came about. And he said, Pat, I can't heal in your congregation because of unforgiveness. And I said, what? And he says, you have a very mature congregation. And this had come about after I was pondering, you know, if Charlie Kirk and they had said that witches' covens were trying to put curses on Charlie Kirk. And I know I had a CD on a pastor who said, if you are a church trying to really do the work of God, not just seeking the flesh, but trying to do the things of God, he says, you can be assured that there's a witch coming against you. Not that we necessarily worry about that, but I'm just looking at the fruit and saying, something's going on. And when the Lord was explaining to me, he says, there is unforgiveness amongst you, and it prevents me from healing. And how it expressed it to me was a little bit different. He said, especially in couples. And where that was there was people here dealing with stuff. I know Cheryl and I are dealing with stuff. Not so much the physical, but family stuff that just keeps coming. And he says, because you are a mature church, the people there are held to a higher standard. And that's what the Bible tells us. Do not all think that you are teachers, because you'll be held to a higher standard. And how the enemy is doing, he says, that in our love walk, that, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, that we should be kind and gentle and love one another. Love, and it goes through what love is to God. And love does not keep score, does not keep a record of wrongs. And those are things, when the Lord speaks to me, if it applies to you, take it. But he's really just talking to me, you know, when I'm going through this. And I say, oh, yeah. I mean, Cheryl's got her kids on her side. I've got mine on my side. And we all can get into a conversation and have our record of wrongs and things like that. That was the thing that the Lord was saying, that there was a crack in the door, and the enemy is using that and speaking against us. That God said it prevented him for the healing that he wants to do in this place. And I'm saying that we are so very, very close to where we need to be. But love, you know, is the highest honor that we have to get to. But to God, he says to us that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Jesus said to Peter himself, a disciple, hey, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Satan is asking to sift people here. And what Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith not fail. And there was a great humbling for Peter to come, for his faith to grow, for where God wants him. And as I was sitting there day after day, talking to the Lord, I was overwhelmed by my Father's love towards me. But it was a different way, the way he expressed it, because I realized that he loved me so much that he was allowing me to suffer. It's weird to think of it that way, but that's how he was. He said, I am going through this with you. Like he says in Hebrews, you have need of patience. He take us through these steps, you know, add to your virtue this and this and this and this. He has taken us somewhere. And I was just overwhelmed saying, Lord, I did not realize how much you love me. Thank you. Thank you for going through this with me. And to all of us here, that is what he is wanting to do. Where we're at, the things we're praying for, we're so very close. I was just reading through some scriptures. I'm just going to give you a couple here because they just jumped out at me, things that I've read so many times. Here is one in 1 Thessalonians 3, starting at verse 10. Paul says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect. So I was like, oh, here's what Pastor keeps talking about, the perfecting of the saints. That we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. It's what he's doing to us right here. It's what he's doing to us right here. What we just need to do is walk in love. See how we are even dealing with our spouses, with our loved ones, idle words, anything that the enemy is using against us, because we're so very close. And the other thing that he said to me, and this came from Titus, and I don't know if I've ever really had a scripture out of Titus that jumped out at me, but I was reading it, and it said, not purloining or stealing, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So what he is trying to get us to is that point of a conscience of no offense. Jesus has done everything. But when we have unforgiveness in our hearts, whether we realize it or not, but it's in our conscience, he's not able to fully work the way he wants to do. Amen. So what he's telling us to do, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things, examine ourselves, repent, grow in what we're wanting to do so God in the fullness can do what he wants to do, because Jesus has already done it. God our Savior. So when I looked that up, you know, he is talking at the Strong's to say, well, that's Jesus Christ, that's deliverer. But that word there does come from the word that we all know, sozo, which is more so, you know, than just salvation, but healing and wholeness and prosperity. He puts it all in there. That is all what he says in the doctrine of God our Savior, God our Sozo. He's already done it. And if we just get there where he's wanting to take us. So I'm saying this to encourage everyone. We brought it up. I think I saw the scripture this morning, you know, do not grow weary in well-doing, you know, because we have. Because these things have taken a long time. But the work that God is doing is more precious. And I'll just end it with this, because the theme, we just entered into the Jewish New Year, 5786. And when I listened to your message last Sunday, I said, well, this is going right along with that. But it says, the theme for 5786, making room for kingdom convergence. Stretch to connect. That's what he's saying. That's what God's wanting to do. He's getting us ready for the hour of what we're living in. And it's just us, let's pray this through. Let's get close to God. Let's examine ourselves, forgive each other, and love each other like we never have before.
Amen.
That's what he's wanting.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
Yes.
God's starting to do some recorrecting, bringing back and doing some new things, I believe, and what I'm hearing in the Spirit. I'm finally getting back up there to where my mind's back from. I didn't realize it was going to take me out that much, but the enemy tried real hard to take me out when we're on vacation. I didn't know how bad it was. I never figured I'd be quite that bad of what was going on. My memory, it took forever to get it back the way I should. I've been memorizing it, but there's just a lot of different things happening. And I'm thinking, wow. And then with the blood clot in my leg, and it just caused me more problems, I believe it's all gone. And through the process of my knees are getting better, I'm starting to get a little more. I have a chair that picks up, and Brendan will now back my scooter into our little hole we have between our two chairs. Does a great job. And through that process, then I can raise my chair up, and now I can kind of pull myself up, push myself out of the chair, and swing over and sit on the scooter instead of have to slide onto a wheelchair and come over and go in the front room, then slide up to this chair to get out, because my knees aren't good enough to pick me up all the way yet. And of course, with a car, I'm getting out with my crutches and being able to spin around, so it's getting a little bit better and better. And I will be walking. I still have that vision that was given to Debbie, and I'm still standing on it and believing without doubt, up here walking and doing some tremendous things. Things are going to happen. But after I heard Pat, I says, you know, he needs to put that out because there's issues going on. And I was sitting there. I mean, it's been so bad that I didn't have anything by the time I went to bed. Or was it, I was about 5:30 last night, I finally started working on it. My brain was so bad, I still couldn't put halfway down, so I went and fell asleep till about 12 and started on it at 12. And I finished up about 1, I think it was, and I didn't get very far. But the fact is, I got something, and I said, okay, Father, so there must be a lot more that you're going to be saying. Because when that happens, it's always going to be more or less in God's hands. Because he's going to take and watch what's going on. But I just want to say good morning and welcome to Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship. See, I changed that, Sarah. Because change is in the air. I still said welcome to, but I put welcome, you know, good morning at first. But we did have a fantastic time yesterday. Great things are going to happen. I hope we have the ability to have somebody that will get up early, Steve, and go up and reserve a park up there, because the people we had up in Boone, they used to get down there. I don't know when they used to get there, 6 in the morning? I think it was something like that, just to be able to reserve the, because it's you can't reserve it. You had who first come, first serve. So they would always come down there to the park, and they would wait in there, and they'd throw all the wood in and start to, you know, start to fire it up and get it going, and then everybody else would come a little bit later. But the fall is, it's a chore. It's something, and we haven't had that for a while, so we haven't been up there. But it was a good time. And, you know, we can put some tarps up to keep the wind from blowing through sometimes. That happened once. And it can be kind of chilly on that day. So, but we've had a fantastic time up there. We invited people, and sometimes they'll come there where they won't come other places. So whatever works, we're just going to believe that God will work something out to make things happen. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, Steve. I just know he gets up early in the morning. He might take and ride his bicycle up there. We just have to have your car up there so you can haul it. Maybe you want to ride it back too, but I don't know if you'd be after a day of having fun. I don't know. Because I know ledges, I think it's still open. You can walk around, down around the streets and up in the ledges and do what you want to do. It's just a fun free-for-all. So we praise God for that. Also, the weather's getting better, except for last Friday when it got almost into the 90s. That was really pretty hot, but that's going to probably wish it was that way about December, January. But until then, we're just going to keep enjoying what's going on. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I know that Pat stopped by, so I wanted to have him put that out, because there is a reason why we are not really doing what we're doing or growing like we should be growing. There's been a lot of questions and concerns about what's happening, why, everything else. And when Pat talked about that, I'm saying, wow, we just need to get this information out. If there's any truth to it in your area, take care of it. Change it. Make it different. I want to tell you one thing. Just following the Holy Spirit. I didn't have my mic on, and they put it in my office, and I didn't think about it when I was there. So I zipped out of here and went into the office and got my mic, and I pulled up to the desk. And as soon as I got to the desk, I got this in my spirit. This grieving of the Holy Ghost. In my spirit. And he says, if they're not wanting to change, I'll leave them behind. That's what I heard. Wow. If they're not wanting to change, I'll leave them behind. There's a prophecy. I said, I didn't know if I want to put that out or not, but I just feel I have to go with the Holy Ghost. There was a prophecy here just lately from Kent Christmas. He says the revival is going to be happening from the 30s and younger. He says, because I've talked to the old people, and they're all lukewarm, and I won't put up with them anymore. If they won't change, I'm not going to mess with them. Not saying lukewarm people cannot change. But I guarantee you what, I'd be getting serious with God real quick. And I'd make sure, and as was said today about having the fire, the pot that's going. And lukewarm is when you've known of God, you kind of put around and you just put it off. That's where the virgins, they have their lantern, but they didn't have any extra oil, Holy Spirit. They're not walking, they're not talking, they're not working with the Lord. And I've been really praying and asking the Father exactly what's going on. He says he took me back because I started. He told me, been some time back, I was reading 1 Corinthians 1, or Ephesians 1. You got about 3. And it said, you know, that God blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I've talked about it before. Because he knew of us before he even formed the earth. And I worked with somebody about some issues in their lives, and it was after that the Holy Spirit came in and just said, I want you to tell my people, I have a plan for them. A plan. I had a plan before the earth was born. I had a plan for great parents, for great siblings, for a great, you know, life for them, and a great job. He says, tell them I have that plan. That was my plan. That's what I want. That's what my heart's desire is. It says they have to understand my heart's desire. You need to make that happen. See why? That's why he wants to give us all the blessings in heaven. Heavenly blessings. He wants to bless you so much, you can't contain all the blessing. I don't know if too many people have that. Spiritual blessings. Not just physical blessings. Spiritual understanding. Spiritual knowledge. Spiritual wisdom. The whole process is going that way. So I started to work on that. And I've been going down through it. Very basic understanding, removing religion out of the whole thing. I'm calling it, why did God create earth? What is the purpose God did this? Because we need to look at the whole outline from beginning to the end on what God's trying to do, not what's happened. Because even his plan, as soon as Lucifer found sin in him, because he didn't have sin in him until he brought in sin. He conceived it, walked in it, and destroyed the plan of God. And then Adam came back. He says, well, he got rid of, so there's a fight, and he kicked him out to heaven and down to the pits of hell, ripped him of all that authority. Then he turned and went to Adam. He wanted to bring his children in to take care of this earth. Psalms, I think it is. He says, the earth or the heavens belong to God, but the earth belongs to the people. He gave this earth to us. That's his plan, to rule and reign on this earth. We keep saying God's reigning. He wants us to reign through him by letting him know and following him, letting him achieve these things. We're still, religious still locks us into Jesus. And we want to be locked into Jesus. I want to be very careful on what I'm saying and people understand, because miscommunication is wrong. Is there any time you get rid of Jesus? No. The difference is you need to walk with the understanding and wisdom and the blessing that God gave you. Jesus came to this earth to set us free and to redeem us from the curse of the law. And I start to go down through there, and I start to see all these things. I'm saying, oh, my Lord, there's so much I'd missed because I was so indoctrinated with kingdom, with religion. Even though I got kingdom principles, kingdom understanding, I was still indoctrinated with religion, which held me back from doing what needed to be done. I got a simple religion, a simple faith one time, and it was just simple. I just believed it. Nothing more. Just believed it. I just wanted to pray for people. I had an opportunity. We were at this other church, and the assistant pastor was there, and his son had a migraine headaches, and he said he'd been to the doctors, and he did this, and he did that, and he went here, and he went there. And they said he still has a headache. The doctor said there's nothing wrong with him. And I says, you want me to pray for him? We were in a meeting one time. We're in a hallway. Everybody's so packed. We're just in this hallway standing. And he was right beside us when he was telling us about that. And I says, pray for him. Sure, I prayed for him, and the headaches was gone. I'd been praying. I'd asked him if I could pray on the prayer team. Yeah, guess what? Right after that, he let me go on the prayer team. So we started praying on the prayer team. People were coming. You know, we've heard people say, oh, yeah, there's a line behind Keith because of you and Debbie, because of the prayers that we're getting. Getting healed, set free, and delivered. Great things were happening. But then all of a sudden, something happened to me. I seen they were losing their healing. Many people lost their healing. I'm thinking, how did they lose their healing? What's going on? There's a problem. So I backed off too far and got into trying to understand why, so we could resolve that issue. So as I was going through here, I was starting to see through the whole outline from the beginning to the end, and just the very basis of why God created this earth, what is his purpose, not all the stories, not all the things happening. And I'm not coming against that. I'm not saying what you're supposed to study, what you're not supposed to study. You have to figure that out from God. But I started to see why God wanted to set up gifts of spirit ministry fellowship. For years, as I've said, I prayed, not my will, but thy will. It's still that way. I'm still saying, Father, not my will, but thy will. I had to go in the room over here the other day, or this morning, and I parked on the red carpet over there, and I turned the music on, and I couldn't get it to play. I'm thinking, what do you mean? I got YouTube, and it was the song that I just really gives me in the spirit strongly. I start hearing from the Lord, and it wouldn't play, so I know the enemy is trying to block what's going on. So I said, you ain't going to block it. So I worked on it and found out there was something that had happened. I don't know how it does. It flipped it over and it started working. And I listened to it. And I listened to it the second time. And I got in the spirit. And the Lord started to refer back to what's going on and what he wants to have done. He wants to change this place. He wants to make it a powerhouse for him. It's like what I said last week. There was a church in this one city, I think it was Los Angeles. And the police would call them because they had the power of the Holy Spirit, and they would go to a place that had domestic problems that they'd be called to, and the police wouldn't show up till they were there and prayed for a little bit, and they bound up the strong man spirit and knocked him down. We have the authority and power. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not playing church, not just having a meeting, but getting in the power of God like we've never had before. And that's why the devil doesn't want this to happen. That's why there's things going on. I'll be very honest with you because it just came to me. We've gotten too far into the politics, into the organization, and not so much into the moving of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has to move. I've also had a person tell me twice now, there's angels on both sides up here, and they won't come in. And I'm saying, Father, why aren't they coming in? There's a reason. Yet there was a time when I took and we had a issue with, not an issue, but we had a situation where the Lord said, I'm going to open this door and let the angel with revival come in. The angel walked in, put the scepter of revival that I picked up from Brownsville, that I've talked about. I haven't talked about much about it. I kind of thought I'd lost it. I haven't lost it. I, the Lord God, did not take that away from you. I have given you the revival fire to run across this state, but you have to raise up to the standards that I have for you. And when you do, you will watch the glory. You will watch your heart's desire. You will see the things. You're relying on other people. You're relying on other words. You're relying on this. You're taking the time to do this and time to do that. But are you putting the time in? How much heart do you want to give me? How much time do you want to give me? How much complaining do you want, and how much love do you want? You make your decision. I'm waiting for you, saith the Father. For it is time to bust this place loose. Not for any glory for any person. Only because I've had a legal right to come in through this leadership of this church and do what I want to do. But I can do everything for you. But if you don't want to pick it up and do it, it won't last. For I need you. I need you to do the things that I want you to do. I must equip you. I've already equipped you. I must train you. I've trained you to a point. And you must be willing to accept it so that you can achieve what I want done. When you start to realize it's not I, but you. It's not real I. When you realize the great crowd of witnesses are waiting upon to see what you do. It's not about the person being a pastor. It's not about the person being an apostle. That doesn't mean about a pastor, a prophet. It doesn't mean a teacher or an evangelist. It doesn't mean helps or whatever. It means all working together as Ephesians 4 talks about in unity with love for one another, for looking over everybody's faults because of your love. But if you don't have love, you can't do it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But you don't love yourself enough to love your neighbor, so you never get done. That's been the problem with the church. I've shown my son a vision when he was in Albert Lea, Minnesota. And it was a serpent wrapped around this city. And he cried out to me. And he said and asked, what is it? What do we have to do? And I did not reply to him. Because I know his heart would be broken. Because my heart is broken. Until at a later date, I told him, the pastors of this city are hindering my revival. Because they don't love each other. They are so divided. They are allowing the devil to stop everything that's going on. Just as my servant has spoken to you, are you going to change? Is this going to become a place where I can move freely? Do you want that revival fire to come in here and change people's lives? Change your lives? If you do, the cutting edge of my spirit I put you at is the hardest thing you have to do in your life. And it will never work unless you say, not my will, but thy will. And you start to open your heart up and allow me to speak to you. Does that mean you have to go out and do great, magnificent things? No, you might have to do something over here that needs to be done because this person can't do that. Or that person can't do this. It's the blending together of all of your gifts. If one of you sit back and not working your gifts, I guarantee you it is the devil trying to stop this place from moving forward. This is my design for you, is to walk with one another, to walk in unity, to love each other. When somebody goes down, pick them up. Pick them up and walk with them. If they aren't doing right, ask me how to teach and talk to them and see if they're open to you. Because if they're not open to you, they're not open to me. And if they're not open to me, it's a waste of my time. And that's what I'm saying today. I am not putting up with the lukewarm. Get hot. Learn what I want you to do. Walk in my spirit. Do not be condemned, because if you feel condemned, it's the devil. There's a convicting power of the Holy Spirit to fall upon you, to change you, and to bring you into the place that I want you to be. Those who want a fresh anointing, I want you to stand up right now. For God says, I want to release an anointing upon you. Anointing and a direction. And this anointing and direction is going to start taking it away from yourself and watching others and desiring my heart more than ever desired before. For it's not about the leadership here. It's about I, the Lord, wanting.